White, St. Helena, California, November 28, 1906. James Edson White. I am propped up in bed writing to you. I have now entered my 80th year. W.C. White returned day before yesterday from his journey in the East. I have talked with him briefly concerning articles from my pen to appear in the papers, but beyond this, I have been unable to do any visiting. I would be pleased to visit you and Emma at your home, but at present, I dare not run the risk of such a journey. I must carefully guard my health, for my work is not yet done. But I hope that everything possible shall be done for the work in the southern field, and that means will be encouragingly invested. Now is our time to work. The time is near when the wrath of the dragon will be aroused, and there will be more decided opposition to our work. I hope and pray for the revealing of the power of God in a most earnest manner. God lives and reigns. All the wiles of Satan and all the power of men who carry out his devisings cannot make falsehood truth. They cannot prevent truth from taking root in every place where it shall be proclaimed. Truth, immortal truth, will triumph in the end. Nothing needless should enter into our plans, for there are many places where work must be done. The Lord will raise up men who will be as his ambassadors to stand on higher ground, and to proclaim the message with a loud voice. The loud cry will be, must be, soon heard everywhere. We must make no false moves. Let all who are engaged in the work of warning the world be fully sanctified to the Lord as his messengers. No expressions of oddity should come from their lips, for they never add to the interest, but rather detract from it. The truth of God is to be proclaimed from his blessed book. The Lord will be our helper as we will make him our choice in wisdom and true holiness. It is time to dig deep and to make our foundation sure on the rock of ages. I am to bear a message regarding the dangers of a man exercising a ruling power over his fellow men. All ye are brethren, said Christ. Matthew 23, verse 8. There must be no dominating one over another. Let all do unto others as they would wish others to do unto them. Antagonism among brethren is displeasing to God. There should be cooperation, each brother working in harmony with his brethren. When officers are appointed in the church, it is supposed that they will be men of sound judgment, but they are not to pursue a course of arbitrary authority as rulers. There is no virtue in being in disagreement with one's brethren. In true Bible cooperation, there will be perfect harmony. Yet, while we are to cooperate with our brethren as far as possible, while we are to give honor to whom honor is due, no living person is to come between our own souls and our heavenly counselor. Last night, in the night season, I seemed to be kneeling by your side and pleading with God to reveal to you the real spirit of prayer. As I thought of how you have reached out to gather to yourself large responsibilities, I pleaded with God to instruct you how to gain an experience in binding about your ambitious projects, that you might be a complete overcomer. I spoke to you of the enmity you have felt toward your brother, and told you plainly that you could not be free in the Lord while you were cherishing these wrong feelings. I said, when you regard this matter correctly, you will see how grievous has been your sin of hatred, for it has been nothing short of this. You can no more carry these feelings into heaven than can any sinner. There must be a complete breaking of your heart before God, such as is represented in the Bible as falling on the rock and being broken. If this does not take place, the rock will surely fall on you, and you will be left hopeless. You do not understand how much mischief has been done by your words and cruel spirit, which are grievous in the sight of a holy God. Our ministers are not so blind that they cannot see, and how will they interpret these things? It seemed a life and death struggle for you. Impressions for good would be partially made upon your mind, then the enemy would come in with power. And at times, it seemed that weak human nature would succumb. Then rays of light would come, and I would be encouraged. At last you surrendered, but there was not complete freedom for you until you had confessed your wrong and wicked feelings toward your brother. You cried out, I fall upon the rock and am broken. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit has shown me the injustice of my course. How could I ever have hoped to enter heaven with such feelings? I see now that it is my wicked, unjust suppositions that have filled my soul with feelings of hatred. It is the fire of the Holy Spirit alone that can burn away these wicked things. The Spirit of God seemed to open before your mind your sins and shortcomings. I was drawn out to say, "It is important to remember, my son, that our Savior was tempted in all points like as we are. He knows how to succor them that are tempted. You are the purchase of the Savior's blood. He has died for you, that you may be a partaker of His divine nature, having overcome the corruption that is in the world through lust. There is hope for full and entire victory."